إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وحده في ذاته ووحده في صفاته، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدًا عبده ورسوله أرسله بالهدى ودين الحق ليظهره على الدين كله، وكفى بالله شهيدا. فصلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فإن خير الحديث كتاب الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة في الدين بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. عباد الله، أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. عباد الله، اتقوا الله. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله ولتنظر نفس ما قدمت لغد واتقوا الله إن الله خبير بما تعملون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم، ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما. وبعد، فقد قال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في سورة التحريم بعد: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها الذين آمنوا قوا أنفسكم وأهليكم نارا وقودها الناس والحجارة عليها ملائكة غلاظ شداد لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يؤمرون. صدق الله، ومن أصدق من الله قيلا. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. Brothers and sisters and children in Islam, inshallah, we will continue this subject on our faith, family and society, the interdependency. This would be part 3 on this subject. Last time we talked about the family aspect of the title, our faith, family and society. And I talked about the importance of having a good family, and in order to have a good and healthy family, the nucleus of the family needs to be good and healthy, sound, God-fearing, pious, the husband and the wife. And I did mention throughout the sermon last time how important it is for, according to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the ayat that I shared with you, for a Muslim man to look for a good, religious, righteous Muslim woman, and vice versa. Similarly, the criteria in a man for a sister should be the khuluq, the manners, and also the deen. And I would like to, just for a brief time, shed more light on this particular point that is very important. Muslim women, although men, Muslim men are allowed in the Quran to marry from the people of the book only, the Jews and the Christians only. They are not permitted to marry Hindus or Buddhists or Sikhs or from any other faith. And any man who does that without the woman converting and becoming a Muslim, he is living in sin. He is disobeying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He may be defying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Muslim sister is not allowed, it is forbidden for her to marry anyone who is a non-Muslim. What to speak of a Christian or a Jew or from the people of the book? And I gave you the one ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and I mentioned the other ayah, Surah Al-Mumtahina, but I did not give you the reference. But because of the importance of the subject, and because we do have some sisters who perhaps have married from the people of the book on the basis that it is allowed, it is not so. It is wrong to assume that. It is very clear from the ayah I will recite with you. Actually, I'll share with you two ayat. Let me begin with another ayah from Surah Al-Baqarah, and that will shed light on both genders, the male and female, Muslim male and females, that they are not allowed. It is forbidden for them both to marry from idolaters, mushriks. The ayah says in Surah Al-Baqarah, وَلَا تَنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكَاتِ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ. And do not marry unbelieving women, idolaters, حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُ, until they believe, until they become a Muslim. So if a Hindu woman wants to convert, that's fine, alhamdulillah. A Buddhist woman who wants to convert, fine. An atheist woman who wants to convert, that's fine. Other than that, you're not allowed according to the Nas, the text of the Quran. وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ خَيْرٌ مِّن مُشْرِكَةٍ وَلَوْ أَعْجَبَتْكُمْ وَلَا أَمَةٌ مُؤْمِنَةٌ. A slave woman who is a believing woman is better than marrying a non-Muslim or a mushrik woman. It is better for you to marry such an individual than marrying a mushrik woman, even if you are attracted to her beauty or attracted to her whatever. Similarly, وَلَا تُنْكِحُ الْمُشْرِكِينَ حَتَّى يُؤْمِنُوا. Do not marry your girls, your women, to idolaters, to the mushrikeen, until they believe. وَلَا عَبْدٌ مُؤْمِنٌ. A slave male, a slave Muslim, to a sister is better than a mushrik in spite of his attraction to you. أُولَٰئِكَ يَدْعُونَ إِلَى النَّارِ. Allah gives us the reason why. Because such people invite to the fire. If you want to go to hell, go ahead, defy Allah and marry mushriks. وَاللَّهُ يَدْعُوا إِلَى الْجَنَّةِ. On the other hand, Allah is inviting to paradise. He's given you the way to paradise. وَالْمَغْفِرَةِ. And forgiveness from Him. بِإِذْنِهِ. With His permission. وَيُبَيِّنُ آيَاتِهِ لِلنَّاسِ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَتَذَكَّرُونَ. And He explains His signs for the people so they may remember, so they may think and reflect. Now the other ayah from Surah Al-Mumtahina, again, although there is no direct in the text, there is no direct prohibition. However, please read between the lines and I will share with you what the scholars say about this situation. This is regarding Muslim women marrying men from people of the book. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Mumtahina, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا إِذَا جَاءَكُمُ الْمُؤْمِنَاتُ مُهَاجِرَاتٍ فَامْتَحِنُوهُنَّ. Allahu a'lamu bi'imanihin. O you who believe, when there come to you believing women refugees. You see, the women, the mushrik women, when they were accepting Islam in Mecca, they left Mecca, muhajirat, as immigrants. They went to Medina. And Allah issued an instruction to the Prophet ﷺ. He says, when they come to you as mu'min, test their iman. Make sure that they are really mu'min, not spies or not, you know, playing games. No, test their iman. Allahu a'lamu bi imanihin. Indeed, Allah knows their faith, their iman. فَإِنْ عَلِمْتُمُوهُنَّ مُؤْمِنَاتٍ. If it is proven to you that they are truly believers, فَلَا تَرْجِعُوهُنَّ إِلَى الْكُفَّارِ. Don't send them back to the kuffar, to the disbelievers, because their husbands were mushriks. And now it is forbidden on them to go back to their husbands. Now here, although in the background we're talking about idolaters and mushriks, but the word here that we need to pay attention to is إِلَى الْكُفَّارِ. He did not say إِلَى الْمُشْرِكِينَ, which means, according to the scholars, that anyone who rejects Allah and Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his messenger, according to Islam, he is a disbeliever. Which means, although the people of the book are acknowledged to be the people of the scriptures, they disbelieve in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they fall in that category of kuffar, of disbelieving people, simply because they don't believe in Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and they don't accept Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Otherwise, if they do, they would have become Muslims. They would be acknowledged as Muslims. But Allah gave certain privileges to those individuals who are God-fearing, who accept Allah, yet they are on their deen, on their millah, and have not accepted Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And those are the Jews and the Christians, whom Allah addressed Ahlul Kitab, because they were the recipients of the scripture from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Torah to Moses, and the Gospel, the Injil, to Jesus alayhi salam. Now listen what Allah said in continuation. لَا هُنَّ حِلٌّ لَهُمْ. They, the Muslim women, are not permitted to marry them, those kuffar, those disbelievers. وَلَا هُمْ, and neither they are يَحِلُّونَ لَهُنْ, are permitted to marry them. So I just wanted to mention these two ayat, because these two ayat makes it very clear that Muslim women are forbidden to marry anyone who is not a Muslim. And this is the consensus of the ulama, بِالْإِجْمَاعِ. This is the consensus of all the ulama from the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam till this day. Till this day. And Shaykh al-Qaradawi said, in reference to this al-ayah al-mubarakah from Surah al-Mumtahina, Surah number 60, ayah number 10, he says, no text exists which makes exceptions for the people of the book. Hence, on the basis of the above ayah, the ayah from Surah al-Mumtahina, there is a consensus among Muslims concerning this prohibition. So please, Muslim sisters, even if a slave, a abd, Muslim, mu'min, you find someone with good khuluq and deen will be much better than a Christian or a Jew or any other person with all of the attraction. Now, if they convert, that's a different story. Therefore, Muslims marrying Muslims is the best choice to protect your deen and your akhirah, and for raising a good and healthy, sound children who would become, inshallah, beacons of light and role models for a rotten society that is in need of good, pious, God-fearing Muslims to reform the society and guide people back to the worship of the one Lord, Allah Azza wa Jal. With this, I will move to the children as part of the family. So far we understand that the nucleus is the most important element in a family. If the nucleus, the husband and wife, are sound and good, then inshallah you will be able to have good family in terms of children and raising children. Now, obviously, our guidance is the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the worry of the prophets regarding their children was what? Was it worldly affairs or was it the akhirah? Of course it was the akhirah, because those were prophets of Allah who know for sure, for certain, that there is an akhirah. And they would make sure that their sons and daughters, their children, die not except on a state of Islam. And we have so many ayat. For example, when Ibrahim advised his sons, and also Yaqub, Jacob, Israel, advised his sons. And he says, يَا بَنِيَّ أَنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَى لَكُمُ الدِّينَ فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. They said to their children, O my sons, indeed Allah has chosen for you this deen, ad-deen al-hanif, deen of Ibrahim, deen al-Islam. فَلَا تَمُوتُنَّ إِلَّا وَأَنْتُمْ مُسْلِمُونَ. Make sure you die not except on a state of Islam, on a state of surrendering, submitting to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now this is the upbringing. This is while the prophets were raising their children. They're advising them this. How many of us give this advice to their children? Oh my son, oh my daughter, whatever you do, make sure you do not die except on a state of Islam. And not Islam saying, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you're born to me and your mother, you're a Muslim. No, on a state of complete submission to Allah, obedience to Allah and His Messenger Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And if you know you're dying and you need to leave an advice to your children, what would be your advice? The advice should be the same advice the prophets gave their children. And when Yaqub on his deathbed was about to die, he collected his children. إِذْ قَالَ لِبَنِيهِ مَا تَعْبُدُونَ مِنْ بَعْدِي. He asked him a question. I'm dying now. I'm going. I won't be with you to guide you anymore. Who will you worship after me? قَالُوا. They said, نَعْبُدُ إِلَٰهَكَ وَإِلَٰهَ آبَائِكَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ وَإِسْحَاقَ. They said, his children said, oh, we shall surely worship your Lord and the Lord of your fathers, your forefathers, our grandfathers, Ibrahim, Ismail, and Ishaq. إِلَٰهًا وَاحِدًا. One Lord, one God. وَنَحْنُ لَهُ مُسْلِمُونَ. And we submit to Him, we surrender to Him. Now you can very much imagine the delight, the satisfaction that these prophets received when they heard these words from their children. Definitely, rest assured, O my beloved father, we will never deviate from the path, from what you taught us. We will worship the one and only one God. Are we teaching our children this? Now this, maybe you say, well, this is too much because those were prophets. And that's the job of the prophets. We're too busy in this world. Well, let's take the case of Luqman alayhi salam. Luqman, who is mentioned in the Quran, according to some scholars, and I personally agree with the view of those scholars, that Luqman was neither a prophet nor a follower of a prophet. He was a man whom Allah had bestowed upon him wisdom, hikmah. Wisdom, hikmah. وَلَقَدْ آتَيْنَا لُقْمَانَ الْحِكْمَةَ أَنْ اشْكُرْ لِلَّهِ. And we have indeed given wisdom to Luqman, that you should be thankful to Allah. This is the biggest wisdom, when you are grateful and thankful to your Lord Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now, how did Luqman, who was neither a prophet nor a follower of a prophet, raise his child? He has perhaps one child, because the address here is Ya Bunay, O my son. So let us find out from there, and this should be the role model for us to raise our children. Since we are no prophets, no messengers of Allah, we are ordinary human beings whom Allah had created us and guided us to the biggest blessings and ni'mah, al-Islam. So let us find out, what did he do and what were the things that he raised his child on, his son on? And if we understand those and apply them, then inshallah ta'ala, you would have succeeded in raising good children fit for the society that is filled with filth and also, inshallah, fit for the akhirah, and Allah will, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, be pleased with them, and through His mercy and compassion, admit not only your children to paradise, and you also, because of the efforts that you have done in this world to raise a good and sound family. So what did Luqman teach his son? Here's what he taught his son. First and foremost, Tawheed. Tawheed. La ilaha illallah. Don't you worship anyone besides God. Don't you submit to anyone besides God. وَإِذْ قَالَ لُقْمَانُ لِبْنِهِ وَهُوَ يَعِظُهُ يَا بُنَيَّ لَا تُشْرِكْ بِاللَّهِ. Although the word Tawheed is not mentioned in this ayah, rather the antonym of Tawheed is mentioned. The opposite of Tawheed is Shirk. And that's what mentioned. And that's the approach he took with his son. And recall, remember, when Luqman said to his son, while he is advising him, admonishing him, Ya Bunay, O my beloved son. And look at the approach. Ya Bunay, O my son, as though he is his friend. Not scolding him, not rebuking him. Ya Bunay, O my son. La tushrik billah. Never commit shirk with Allah. Never ever, for a single moment in your life, commit shirk. Small or big. And not only he advised him and instructed him not to commit shirk, but he gave him the reason why. And that's a lesson for all of us. Whenever we teach our children, be rational, be logical with them. Explain to them. Particularly our children who are raised here in America, raised in the schools on critical thinking. I don't see any faith that is so rational like Islam. Share with them. Why do you think shirk is so bad? Luqman explained, إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. Because shirk is the greatest injustice. When one becomes ungrateful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this is the greatest injustice. When people depend on themselves and not on their creator, on their master, is the greatest injustice. It will manifest in mischief on earth, in fasad, in fawahish, in immoralities, in indecencies. So to protect yourself, my son, never ever for a single moment commit shirk with Allah. This is the greatest sin. إِنَّ الشِّرْكَ لَظُلْمٌ عَظِيمٌ. So he taught him Tawheed. And this is what we need to teach our children. Tawheed. Tawheed al-Uluhiyyah. The oneness of Godship. Tawheed al-Rububiyyah. The oneness of Lordship. He is the master, he is the sustainer, he is the provider. Never for a moment, my son, think what I give you is from me. The food I provide to you, it's not from me, my son. It's from Allah, the master, the Rabb, the Lord. And Tawheed al-Asma' wa-Sifat. To believe in his attributes, the oneness of his names and attributes. So this is what Luqman taught his son. What else did he teach him? He taught him the Akhirah, the Day of Judgment, the Day of Accountability, and that he should be ready for that to stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when Allah calls and summons everyone on that grand day, the grand day of accountability. He says, يَا بُنَيَّ إِنَّهَا إِنْ تَكُمْ إِثْقَالَ حَبَّةٍ مِّنْ خَرْدَلٍ فَتَكُمْ فِي صَخْرَةٍ أَوْ فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ أَوْ فِي الْأَرْضِ يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَطِيفٌ خَبِيرٌ. He said, oh my beloved son, do know, إِنَّهَا إِن تَكُ مِثْقَالَهَا. This إِنَّهَا pronoun, ha, is for the a'mal, your deeds. Do know that whatever deed you do, whatever action you do, even if it is as big as a mustard seed, and a mustard seed is at that time the smallest thing that they could see and measure. Now we have electrons and neutrons and protons and so on and so forth. But at that time, this is the smallest thing. Dharra. Mustard seed. A mustard seed. So Luqman is teaching his son, oh my beloved son, even if your deed is as small as a mustard seed, and wherever it may be, wherever you may commit that act, whether it is in the heavens or it is in the earth anywhere or behind a rock, meaning whether it is open or hidden in some dark place, Allah knows of it. Allah knows it. يَأْتِ بِهَا اللَّهِ. Allah will surely bring it forth on the day of judgment before you. So be careful about what you do. Be careful of your actions and deeds in this world. And make sure your actions and deeds are those actions and deeds that are beloved to Allah, that makes Allah pleased and happy. In other words, don't commit ma'asi and disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He taught him the concept of the akhirah. Allah knows everything. He will bring it forth. Don't think you're going to be fooling Allah. No. And these, our children need to know that. And you know, when we teach our children these principles at such a young age, wallah, they will take it with them to the grave. You will be gone and they will be instructing their children exactly the same thing you instructed them. And that is perpetual charity for you, inshallah ta'ala. Inna Allah latifun khabir. Indeed, Allah is very kind and He knows everything. And then what else did He teach His son? What did Luqman teach His son? Ya bunayya aqim as-salata wa'mur bil ma'ruf wanha 'anil munkari wasbir 'ala ma asabak inna dhalika min 'azm al-umur. How beautiful. The obligations that he owes Allah before fulfilling the obligations of anyone. Among those obligations, salah. We need to pray. Ya bunay, my beloved son, aqim as-salah. Keep establishing prayers. Keep establishing prayers. Never miss salah for a single moment. And you know, we are as Muslims required to teach our children, although they're not accountable for it until they reach the age of puberty, but we are asked by our beloved Prophet ﷺ to teach our children salah at the age of 7. As young as the age of 7. So my beloved son, keep praying. Never miss the salah. Never ever. Wherever you may be, when the salah time comes, you pray. وَأْمُرْ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ وَنْهَا عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ. And how beautiful this part of the ayah. Not only is he preparing his son to be a God-fearing, pious, righteous individual to earn the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the akhirah, but he's preparing his son to take head on the problems of the society. Be ready and be prepared. Ordain that which is good. There is so much evil going on. You will see that when you go and become part and parcel of the society. Your job, my son, is not to indulge in them. And not to ignore them either. But to address them. To ordain and promote that which is good. To forbid whatever evil you see. That's Luqman preparing his son for the society. إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ مِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. Indeed, this is from matters that require firm resolve. عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. And what else did Luqman teach his son? Humbleness, modesty, humility. وَلَا تُصَعِرْ خَدَّكَ لِلنَّاسِ. Now you're going to be engaged with the society, with the people. Don't you turn your face away from them in arrogance. Be humble to them. وَلَا تَمْشِ فِي الْأَرْضِ مَرَحًا. Don't you walk in the land arrogantly, haughtily. You know, you can tell when someone is walking. You can tell the personality and the attitude of a person by the way he or she walks. If they walk with their chest up high and head raised up, walking proud like a peacock, that's an expression, isn't it? Proud like a peacock. What does it mean? Arrogant. No, Luqman said, my son, my beloved son, be humble when you walk. إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ كُلَّ مُخْتَالٍ فَخُورٍ. Allah does not love those who are arrogant. وَقْصِدْ فِي مَشْيِكَ. Have a moderate way of walking. Not too fast, not too slow. Have a moderate way. وَغْضُدْ مِنْ صَوْتِكَ. Don't speak harshly and loud, and not too soft that people can't hear you. Lower your voice, but in a respectful manner. Speak to the people in a respectful manner. إِنَّ أَنْكَرَ الْأَصْوَاتِ لَصَوْتُ الْحَمِيرِ. Indeed, the most displeasing voice is the braying of the ass. So you see, this is a great example for all of us on how to raise children. Please, my dear brothers and sisters, please go and study this section of Surah Luqman. Go to the tafaseer and understand the depth of it. And learn from Luqman al-Hakim, the wise Luqman. You can be wise too. Why? Because we have the guidance, we have the Quran and we have the Sunnah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala help us to be wise in our actions and deeds. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide us to that which pleases Him and help us stay away from that which displeases Him and help us raise good families. Allahumma ameen. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. ثم أما بعد, in the remaining few minutes, let me just share with you some suggestions. We talked about Luqman and his approach and how he raised his son. Let me just add a few suggestions, if I may, regarding how to raise, the method by which we can raise our children. First and foremost, be kind and compassionate and merciful to your children. And the best time to teach them is when they are young. Spend time with them when they are young. Now, some attributed what I'm about to say to the Prophet ﷺ, although I have not yet seen it anywhere, it appears that it is the athar of Ali radiallahu anhu, Allahu ta'ala a'lam. But it says that, have fun with your child the first 7 years. Play with your child. And then the next 7 years, teach your child. Begin teaching him. Because this is the age where they begin to reason. That's the age when they are curious. Oh dad, why is this so? Oh dad, why is that so? This is the age to begin teaching them. And then the next 7 years, it is said that it's best that you befriend your son or your daughter. And that's very important. Whoever said that, regardless, it's so wise, because the last thing you want is to repel your children from you, to tell you they are doing what you want them to do in front of you, and doing exactly the opposite behind your back. Unless you are friends with them, and they trust you, and you trust them, you will not be able to help them, nor will they be able to help themselves. And additionally, when correcting something, don't rebuke them. Don't scold them. Point out their mistakes, and very wisely correct those mistakes. Don't insult them. Children are very sensitive. Wallahi, one insult in front of strangers that what appeared to be fun and everyone else had a laugh, out of this little incident that you shared about your son and daughter, it will injure him or her forever. Psychological injury, emotional injury, and will remember that till the day you die. You remember, Dad, you humiliated me in front of my uncle and aunt and so on and so forth. You have to be careful and sensitive about these issues, among others. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوا أَنفُسَكُمْ وَأَهْلِيكُمْ نَارًا. All you who believe, save yourselves and family from the fire. That's how we save ourselves and our family from the fire. Raising good children, good family is very important for our society, because our faith, family, and society are all interdependent. They're not in isolation. And we need to take those step by step, and inshallah, next time I'll address the society aspect of this subject بإذن الله تعالى. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم ولسائر المسلمين والمسلمات فاستغفروه. إن الله ملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه، وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه. اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى، وارحمنا برحمتك الواسعة يا أرحم الراحمين. وأقم الصلاة يرحمني وارحمك الله.